Somebody say good morning. It is so good to see you here this morning. Amen. How many feel like the beginning of these messages feel like an infomercial you're walking into? Hey, good morning. We got some juice here. You know, anyway, right on. Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to 3 John chapter 1. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. We got it for you on the screen. We are in this juice series here this fall at Journey Church, and this scripture here has been our theme verse in and throughout this series, and I want us to be, like we say before, Presbyterian today, so we're going to read this together. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for that word. Lord, your word comes from your heart. So I thank you, Lord, for your heart for us today that we just got to see a little piece of. Lord, I pray that your heart would come to life. Your word would come to life in our lives, God. As we hear it, we would live it, I pray, as we go from this place. And Lord, guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that I would speak your word, not mine. I simply want to be an echo of what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you can see from this scripture, God's heart for our lives is health. Health in all forms. Physical health, spiritual health, emotional health. And if you look at parts of this verse, you know, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, meaning God wants every part of you to be well, to be in a state of health and wellness. And I mean, you know, to have a healthy life, we have to put healthy things into our lives. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been paralleling different fruits and vegetables with some of the spiritual fruit and spiritual vegetables that God calls to be a part of our spiritual diet for our spiritual health. And today we're going to be looking at something called the passion fruit. And if, as you can see in this picture, the passion fruit is kind of foreign looking. The insides of it don't necessarily look finger looking good. It looks like what I call spoiled tapioca pudding. It just is like, it's in there. It's just kind of gross looking, as a matter of fact. But this is one of those fruits that, unlike the apple, you just can't take a bite out of it. Because it's what's on the inside that is meant to be ingested. It's what's on the inside of this fruit that, as you see on the screen, is meant to be eaten. The outside essentially doesn't matter. It's what's on the inside that matters. So the outside is just a shell. It's only purpose, because there's no nutrients to the shell. The only purpose to the outside of this fruit is to contain what's on the inside. But if you get what's on the inside into your body, there is tremendous health benefits that come to your life, to your body, just from eating passion fruit. And this has been a favorite part, I think, of some people have been telling me this too. Like, man, I love it when you talk about the health benefits of these fruits. Here's just some of the health benefits you get from eating passion fruit. Number one, they say, and this is health research, this is what they've proven to show. These are proven results. Passion fruit protects you from cancer. That's been kind of a theme, it seems, in all of these fruits and vegetables. It gives you healthy blood pressure because of its high potassium content. It severely lowers the risk of anemia. You have great benefits in digestion from eating a passion fruit because of its high amount of fiber. It boosts the immune system. It improves cardiovascular health. Check this out. It's a natural mood enhancer. Passion fruit and its flowers contain something called alkaloids that are known to have mild sedative properties, and it's found that eating passion fruit relaxes the nervous system and induces sleep. You're looking for a good night's sleep, eat some passion fruit. It's a very effective, as I said earlier, mood enhancer that many doctors are now using these as natural supplements to treat things like depression, anxiety, and insomnia. Passion fruits also, lastly, control asthma And again, these are, it controls it. These are just some of the, it's a little passion fruit. Look at all it does. Put that little joker in your body and look at that's crazy. Like, isn't that crazy? I don't know if you, for me, it's like, whoa. Like all these amazing benefits that come from just eating fruits and vegetables. Like, it's crazy to me. But I think we've always known that. We've always known that this is good stuff here. We've always known that it was good for you to eat fruits and vegetables, but it was always primarily just left at that when we were told that. You know, we were never shown the details of why it's good for you. All we're told is that fruits and vegetables and juicing and all that stuff is good for you. Okay, well, that doesn't really motivate life change, that statement to me. Show me how it's good for me. Because when you start getting sub-level, when you start showing exactly how and why this is good for you, it motivates you to ensure that foods like this are part of your daily diet because you know what it does. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me after these messages like, Jesse, I'm ready to buy stock in carrots. Like, I've bought so many carrots. Man, I went and bought some peppers. Man, I went and bought some apples, like, because I know what they do for me. I'm ready to take them in. And all that is something called, let me say it this way, information gives birth to motivation. Let me say that again. Information gives birth to motivation. When you know, you grow. Knowledge is power, all that good stuff. So like we've been paralleling these fruits with in this juice series, like prayer, like the apple, right? Prayer is the apple to our spirit. We, of course, know that prayer is good for you, but when we show you why it's good for you, when we show you how prayer blesses your life, we find ourselves more motivated to pray. Just like with the carrot, we talked about the calendar, right? The ability to see into your life, because so often so many of us are just in the dust of life and busyness and we can't. When you schedule your success, you see the purpose to a calendar, that it's actually getting you to your dream. It motivates us to have a calendar, to put organization and schedule to our lives. Just like the peppers, man, last week when we went, ay, 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 and talked about church attendance, we all know that church attendance is good for you, but when we show you why it's good for you and how it is good for you and how it opens up your spiritual pores and gets all the toxins out of your life that so often build up in us, it motivates you to church attendance. So here we are with this passion fruit. First of all, I think it has a very unique name, passion fruit. That's just unique to me. Because somebody say, what are you eating? I'm eating passion fruit. And I wish I had a fan with hair blowing when I said that. Like, you know, just passion, you know? When I think of passion, I think of marriage. That's just where my brain goes. Marriage. One of the greatest areas of life God has called us to live with passion in. And so that's what this passion fruit is going to be today. It is going to be marriage. Because marriage is an area of life where we desperately need to ensure that we are getting, that we are juicing, that we are squeezing all that we are supposed to be getting and juicing and squeezing out of. Because with the passion fruit, the good stuff is on the inside. Not the outside. The surface of this fruit carries no nutritional value whatsoever. As I said, there is nothing to gain from ingesting the surface of this fruit. Try it and you will regret it. It is bitter. It is useless. The nutrients of this fruit are found deep within it. And I believe many couples find themselves living their marriages on the surface. And they never really get to the core. They never really get to the nutrients on the inside, to living a true, nourishing marital experience. How many know what I'm talking about when I say that? Like, you know, you see this all the time on social media. Everybody sees this all the time on social media, where you'll see a couple on Facebook with what I like to call their Facebook smiles. Right? Billy and Bobby Jean. We'll just say for an example. You see them, man. You see them putting their mugs on. They're all happy and pictures and different poses. And they got hashtags, my boo for life. And I would be lost without you, my boo, and all this stuff. I love you more than life itself. You're the air I breathe, the breath I take in, right? And you just see this. Hashtags everything, right? You see it, and then 2 weeks later, somebody comes to you and goes, hey, did you hear about Billy and Bobby Jeannie? You're like, what happened? They're like, yeah, they're divorced. What? They looked so happy just 2 weeks ago on Facebook. They're like, no, that was just in the picture. Because truth is, when you talk to them, they never really found happiness alone with each other. Their conversations were just surface. Their time together was just routine. Their relationship was just a shell. Can I tell you, the surface won't sustain your marriage. The surface will never sustain. And the fact of the matter is, divorce statistics continue to remain and grow at the level where one out of every two marriages end in divorce. One out of two. One out of two, and the trends continue to grow. When every time I hear of it, man, it is heartbreaking to me for the pain that sits in the hearts of humanity that carry around these weights. And I begin to pray, God, give us a revival. Where we see this stat, this one out of every two, where we see that on the decline instead of on the rise. God, give us a revival where our couples are squeezing everything out that you have for their marriages to make it. Man, that's been my prayer. So how do we make it? How do you juice the most out of our marriages? How do you get to the core nutrients of what God has for our marriages? I want to first address those that may be in the room today and you are not married. And you may be sitting here single going, oh, great. I could have stayed home. But maybe one day you will be married. I want to address those. Maybe you're here and you've got a heart for marriage to one day be married. Use this teaching that you hear today as preparational teaching. How many wish you had more teaching before you said, I do? How many know what I'm talking about? I wish I had stuff like this to ready me before I knew what it was like to be with her. Amen. And she would say it louder than I'm saying it. Or maybe those of you in this room that are not married and maybe you have no plans to be married, which is okay. It's scriptural. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 says, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, Paul said, it is good for them to remain single as I am, he said. You get more time with the Lord, more time to serve him, more focus for him. And if that's you, receive this time, receive this talk as something that equips you to share with people you know are married. Telling you, man, use these talks as information to bless those that you know. Everybody knows somebody that's married, and not one marriage is perfect. So, man, use this. Don't even give me the credit, man. Just start preaching. Pull out a juicer and say, we're going to talk about passion fruit today. You know, do whatever you got to do. Amen. But I'm telling you, this passion fruit, man, is very crazy. And man, you got to work hard just to get into the surface of it. Because the thing is, man, you got to really get and squeeze out the nutrients just to even begin to get, look, I mean, a lot of you can't even see hardly anything that's coming out because of the amount. Oh man, I'm hurting my thumb. You got to squeeze this thing to be able to get it. Just to be able to get that much, the effort that it takes. How many have you ever been on cooking shows? And here we have it. There you go, right? But that right there is passion fruit juice that you see. And as you take in passion fruit juice, oh my goodness. I know it looks gross, but it is so good. And as we read, all the amazing benefits that come to your life, right? All the amazing things that come to your life, the amazing benefits in here that are available to you, to the world around us, if we would simply make marriage what marriage is supposed to be. I'm talking good stuff. So let's get to the core. Let's get to the core nutrients of a healthy marriage, of a health and wellness marriage. Let's look at God's juice for long-lasting matrimony with our spouse. Number one, you will know you're drinking God's juice. You'll know you're getting to the core of your marriage if you're drinking selflessness. Selflessness. Oh man, selflessness is so good for us. This, in my opinion, is the most powerful nutrient in marriage. Selflessness, where you realize that marriage is defined as two people, right? Two people. Like for me, it's Jesse and Missy. You've got them right there. Now, marriage to us, this is marriage through Jesse's eyes. Selflessness is Jesse looking at marriage, and marriage is not about Jesse. My focus is putting all the light and all the bright around that little blonde that God has given me to share life with. That is my view of marriage. That's what God calls it to be. And her view of marriage isn't to be herself, but she's supposed to put the light around the carved and cut man from heaven that he has given her. That is what it is to be in her eyes. I'm going to say something corny right now. Marriage is selflessness is taking the I out of marriage. Selflessness is taking the I out of marriage. It's corny, but it's good. It's something to write down right there. Selflessness is taking the I out of marriage. How do you live selfless? How do you do that? How do you take the I out of marriage? Because that's hard. It's hard to remove focus from yourself out of marriage. And let me just tell you this. Selfishness versus selflessness is the toughest, the hardest, the most difficult mind battle you will ever face. Not just in marriage, this is in life. It is the most difficult mind battle you will ever have. Selflessness versus selfishness. Because I can already hear in a marriage context our own counter thoughts. Yeah, okay, Jess, I've tried that. And I get nothing in return. I've tried being selfless and I get nothing in return. I've heard that a lot of times. And let me say this. Nothing in return isn't as true as you make it out to be. I think it's more like you may not get the return when you want it. But selflessness will undoubtedly leave you with a return in due time. Because a lot of times what we expect are immediate results, or we want the results faster than the results are meant to come to us, especially in this American consumerist culture mindset that we have where we want results microwave fast. When the nature of selflessness is a seed, which means it takes time to yield the fruit you are looking to reap. But again, that's just the nature of selflessness. That's just an understanding of it, but how do you do it? How do you do it, and how do you do it consistently? Man, I could stand here and share with you a lot of psychological points and pastoral teaching points, but on practical ways to try and do it. But it comes to this, and I'm not asking you to see my marriage as the marriage, you know, because I still believe we have a relatively young marriage. This December we'll have been married 20 years, and it doesn't feel like 20 years. It just feels like 20 seconds with you. I'm just kidding. Selflessness really can only come and stay
I think it's important to talk about the staying part too. It's easy to be selfless for a minute. But selflessness can only come and stay in your life through a legitimate focus on Christ. That's the only way that selflessness can come and stay. If you want to live selfless, you got to look at Jesus. Like you gotta think on Jesus. You gotta talk to Jesus. You gotta sing to Jesus. You gotta do anything you have to do, need to do to connect with Jesus, because it is only in Him where you find the strength to live like He did, selfless. When I don't want to keep living selfless, and we all find ourselves at regular quitting points in those places in marriage where we want to stop being selfless. Any hands? 7 of you. The rest of you, so holy in your marriage. Amen. Look, you're looking at your spouse. Not me. No. We all do, right? We all want to quit being selfless and start being selfish at times. And the strength we find to keep going is found in our connection with Christ. Let me give you an example in my life where just even recently, I just wanted to be selfish in my marriage. I didn't want to be selfless. I was angry at her. I was mad at her. In a discussion I was having with her, she made me mad. And don't let her fool you with her cute little self. She ain't peaches and cream 24/7, right? I was mad at her. I was angry, and I wanted to do things my way. And I just was like, but I didn't overreact in the moment, so I walked away. I'm just steaming somewhere else. And, you know, you just get mad where you just want to punch walls or punch animals. Or, you know, you just want to do this. He's looking at a cute little dog. You know, you just want to send it going. I love dogs. I love animals. But you just get mad sometimes. And I was just mad. And so I went and I just kind of unplugged from reality by plugging in my earbuds. And I like to go on. I'm a YouTube guy, man. I'm a YouTube-aholic. I love watching YouTube videos and podcasts and all that type of stuff. And so I remember I sat down and I'm just angry. And I'm just like, forget about her, man. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm mad, and nobody's understanding me, and me, and me, and me, and I plugged them in, and you know how earphones have, like, some of them have a section where there's a microphone on the earbud, and then on that part, there's a button, and I didn't know that button, if it was plugged in your phone, mine does anyway, it pushes play on something that you're already watching or listening to. And so as soon as I put him in, the phone didn't even turn on, and a button goes, and literally I'm sitting there, and this song comes on while I'm steaming. I am surrounded. It was at this part of the song, too, right here. By the arms of the Father, I am surrounded. Listen to these words with these earbuds. Songs of myself in this moment, and worship, all worship does, and praise and music, what does it do? It takes your eyes and puts it on Jesus. And I'm in this moment of anger at her, and I find myself in a moment where my eyes are on Him, and I'm thinking about the cross. And in that moment, I'm just like, whoa, and I'm listening to those words, the excerpt of the song I just played right here, and I'm thinking, man, I'm the son. I'm a son. I'm a child of God. And I'm thinking about why I'm a child of God. It's because of the cross. And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything to deserve what it is that I have. Like, God, you've given me so many incredible things. You've given me so many amazing benefits in life and opportunities and blessings. And I didn't do one thing to deserve any of that which you've given me because I've been an idiot to you. I've messed up. I've failed. I've screwed up. I've constantly just thrown dirt up in your face with some of my decisions and my dumb, idiotic failures. But yet you still love me. In spite of me, I did nothing to deserve what it is that I have. And I just begin to think about that, and I'm like, what am I doing? I didn't do anything to deserve what I have, but that's what we think, though, that our spouse has to earn our love or do something for our love to be given back to them. Come on, somebody. We're going deep right now, aren't we? Because right now we're walking into foreign territory with teaching like this. For most marriages, this is the deep stuff, though, that nourishes a long-lasting marriage. When you look to the cross, you realize you didn't have to qualify for it. Isn't that what Scripture says, Romans 5:8? God showed his love for us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. While we were still sinners. While we were still sinning. I'm talking while we were doing it. While we were kicking dust up at him. While we had no desire to follow after him. While our lives blasphemed his name. While we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He did the most selfless thing for us when we were at our worst. And that love overcame me in that moment. That love, that mindset overtook the anger I had at my wife in that moment. And that love has to be put in, that love has to be placed in to our love for our spouses. Come on, somebody say a good amen. That's good preaching. We got to understand, friends, that we can't hold on to anything. We don't have to expect anything. Let me say it like this. What does a selfless husband look like? Let me talk to the fellas just for a moment, if that's all right. Fellas? I think I saw a guy go, just shut up. Just move on. Here's an example. Here's what a selfless husband looks like. Coming home from work and cleaning the house with your hurt back, with your achy muscles, with your tired countenance, and cleaning that house and expecting nothing in return. You know what I mean when I say nothing in return? Remember when I played that, remember when I did this illustration in marriage a while back, right? And I was talking about there was a time where you know, we learned about love languages and how your spouse has a love language and some of your spouses, her love language, she doesn't, it basically means how they hear the words, I love you. Some of them don't hear by just words. They hear in deeds, right? And my wife is a deed person. You talk a great talk, but why don't you walk a good walk? Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. And there was a time I got the vacuum cleaner out, and she was looking at me in a way that I never felt more sexy before in my life. Like, I didn't even hear the sound of the vacuum cleaner. All I heard was, let's Marvin Gaye and get it on. You know, like, that's what I heard. But how many know there are times where Marvin Gaye isn't going to play when you're vacuuming the house? Selflessness is doing something like that, fellas, and expecting nothing in return. Because there's going to be times where you do this, and all you hear is the sound of the vacuum cleaner. And then when you're done, you look at her, and she says, thank you. Like, what? I go do the dishes? You know? That's what you're going to get in return, is thanks for doing something now. Now I got a headache. I'm going to bed. Good night. Like, that's what you get. Sometimes that's the return right there. Sometimes it's doing this and you don't get that. Look at you guys. Shut up, preacher. Move on. Amen. The nature of selflessness does not put expectations at the end of its efforts. The nature of selflessness is trusting God with the return. It trusts God to bring the return in His time. And let me just add this to the equation. Just in case Marvin Gaye starts to play in your house. Can we just go salt and pepper for a moment and talk about sex, baby, just for a moment? Let's say Marvin Gaye does get played in the house. And you know what I'm saying, amen. When sex is in the picture, fellas, let me just say this. Sex is not about you. What would your sex life look like if it became about them? Fellas, we got to eliminate this hit it and quit it mindset. And look at some of you right, like, oh my God. I can't even believe what I'm hearing in the house of the Lord. Good day, sir. You know. We shan't talk about this in the sanctuary of the Most High. No, we should talk about this in the sanctuary of the Most High. Because let me tell you something, the world out there is leading a message on sexuality that is taking us nowhere. Sex is not just about you. It is about them. What would your sex life look like if it became about them instead of yourself? Amen. I remember watching an episode of Married with Children. I grew up watching Married with Children. And there was a scene there where Al Bundy and Peggy Bundy is trying to, you know, have a little hanky-panky time with Al. And he's watching TV and a commercial comes on. He's like, babe, the game's going to be back on, you know, because he's watching a football game. And she said this, Al, don't worry, you'll be back before the end of this commercial. And I think about, you know, that's funny for a TV show. That's for a good laugh in a TV show, but that doesn't work in real life. You live your sex life like that, let me just tell you, your spouse will feel used. Make it about them. All right, now I'm done. We can breathe again, all right? There we go. Now, ladies, let's talk about you just for a moment. Let me just say this. What does a selfless, guys, most guys are right now leaning forward, amen. Mm-hmm. You got that app out, you taking notes, amen. What does a selfless wife look like? And again, these are just mere examples. These are just small pictures of a much broader description of a spouse living selflessly. But let me say this. If his clothes are still on the floor after you've told him 1,000 times to pick up your dirty underwear and put it in the basket. If you've told him 1,000,000 times, pick up your clothes, and he still hasn't done it, and they continue to lay there. Or you've told him, put the dishes away, please. Put them in the dish, whatever, and yet they continue to be there. If you're looking at clothes on the floor, just pick them up and continue on with your day. Because let me say this, clothes on the floor is not worth carrying strife and the toxin of stress and anger over. It's not worth carrying that toxin over. Clothes on a floor are not worth being selfish over. Be selfless in those moments. God gave me a word a few years ago concerning marriage and concerning the subject of love. Love is losing. Love is choosing to lose. choosing, even if you're in an argument where you know you're right, love is choosing to lose the argument so you can win the relationship. Love is giving up my right to be right because God says minors aren't something I should be majoring in. Well, fine. But what about me? Right? Nonetheless, the questions still come. What about me? Here's what God says about you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. For whatever one sows, that will they also reap. Meaning when you live for them, they live for you. And trust God with the timing on that. I'm telling you, that's a good nutrient for your marriage. Amen. Number two, you'll know you're drinking God's juice for your marriage. You'll know you're getting to the core nutrients of the fruit of marriage if you're drinking something called healthy communication. Does my communication benefit them? Does my communication bring value to them? Oh, I'm telling you, that's a good nutrient to put in your marriage. Does my communication strengthen them? Did you know the number one reason marriages fail and come to an end is communication? Many divorced couples who find themselves in counseling post-divorce find themselves with their primary regret being communication. Were the talks every day deep or were they surface? Did you regularly engage in meaningful conversation? Because how many know marriage is much more than, honey, how was your day? Fine. That's not putting anything healthy into your relationship. That's not putting the nutrients of the fruit of what God has for you in your relationship. That's like, honey, how was your day? Fine. That's like chewing on a Twizzler. That's doing nothing. You didn't do anything to create that. That was just manufactured statements. But you got to squeeze in. You got to squeeze into conversation to get the juice out of it. Ensure your communication is bringing your marriage health. Because let me tell you, much like you just saw in this juicer experiment, healthy communication takes effort. It takes energy to squeeze the good stuff out of it. It's taking the effort and taking the energy and ensuring that I am a strength to my spouse with my words and my reactions to them. Not just the words you give, but the words you hear. Because how many know healthy communication involves listening just as much as it does talking? And today, we don't listen like we should because we have phones and television sets and things that take our eyes. Eye-to-eye communication is so important. When your spouse is talking to you, look at them, express interest, and absorb the words that are being spoken. How many have ever talked to somebody and you felt like you've had a better conversation with a wall? Listening is important. Ensure your communication is powerful and full of strength. Now, again, I hear some of the counterpoints to this as well, where some would just ask the question, all right, I hear you, but what do I do if my spouse is, what's the word I want to use, an idiot? And sometimes. And what about the need to bring correction to them? What if my spouse needs to be fixed? I'm not saying that healthy communication doesn't involve tough conversation. I'm not saying that healthy communication doesn't involve rebuke. But you got to ask your question here. Is it necessary to have a tough conversation over? I think a great filter to determine whether or not you need to have a tough conversation with your spouse comes down to first you asking the question to yourself, how big a deal is this issue I'm struggling with right now? And ask that in prayer. Like, how big a deal is this really? Because if he's always leaving a towel on the floor, how big a deal is that really? It's not a big deal. Now, if the problem is an addiction and maybe he's struggling with alcoholism, then that is a big deal. And let me just address that, whatever the addiction may be. If you ever feel ill-equipped to have this conversation in a healthy manner, to confront a spouse in their problem that is hurting your marriage, meet with a pastor, meet with a counselor, so that they can guide the conversation into a healthy place, so that you can work through the issues you're experiencing and ensure your communication remains healthy and is building your marriage up instead of tearing your marriage down, to which we can so easily do. Let me say it like this: words hurt, and you can't forget words. And so many times, hurting words come from a place of hurt. And when you're hurt, let me just say this, sometimes the best thing to do is not react right away. Keep it in there and take it to Jesus and fix it before the words come out. Because Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23 says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. No matter what it is you're going through, keep drinking the juice of healthy communication. I'm telling you, this has to be in our marriage, because there's inexplicable power that comes to your life as a result of it. As passion juice does to our body, that right there comes to your spirit. Number three, man, we are behind. We got to zip through these, man, my goodness. I just want to say, we're doing a marriage conference in February, the first ever marriage conference of Journey Church. And it's the second weekend of February. Pastor Doug Reed is coming, and we've got some other special guests, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. But number three, you'll know you are drinking God's juice, getting to the core of God's nutrients for your marriage, if you're drinking something called allowance for each other's weaknesses. How many are saying, all right, what's the next point? Amen. Right? That's a tough one. Allowance for each other's weaknesses. Let me say this. Marriage is a spiritual union of two different people. I want to use that word again. Marriage is a spiritual union of two different people that God has called to be together, to be a strength to each other in the areas where they are weak and need that strength. So often in marriage where you're weak, I mean, no, it works out like this. They're strong. And where you're strong, they're weak. And instead of beating them up over their weakness, I mean, no, God calls us to use the strengths God has given us in those areas to help them with the weaknesses they have in theirs. Amen. Couples give up because of that right there. Couples throw in the towel because of stuff like that right there. They throw white flags up saying things like, we're just too opposite. When in reality, I believe God says the opposite. Opposite is good. Allow me to quote the great psalmist, Paula Abdul, when she wrote, opposites attract. Isn't that true, though? Opposites attract. Why is it that your spouse is so different than you? Why is that? This ideology of incompatibility is baloney. We're just too different. I believe God places different people together to be a strength to each other. Amen. Man, we got to move on. Lastly, number four. You'll know you're drinking God's juice for your marriage if you're drinking what I call PBC. Prayer, Bible, and Church. Man, I'm telling you. If you put this right here into your marriage, where you are praying together habitually, regularly, where you are reading God's word habitually, regularly as a couple. Somebody say, well, I don't have time. I mean,
I got to read the Bible for myself, and now I got to read it with my spouse, and now I got to read it with my kids, and what's worth to you? I mean, no, if you want something, great things are never born on the wings of convenience. But it's born out of discipline and hard work. Install God's word into your marriage and go to church together. A couple, I'm telling you, that's praying together and reading together and going to and serving and plugging into a church together is inexplicably powerful. I can't tell you how many spiritually single spouses started coming to this church and they got the grit and said, I'm not coming here alone anymore. And they forced their spouse to come in here. There's a couple, particularly in this church, that I'll keep nameless for the time being, but that the spouse, the husband was forced to come here. Or else. It was one of those. Or else. And that spouse ended up coming and sit there and looked at me, arms crossed, and the message like, he's ready to punch me in the face. And I'm just like, let's do this, come on. No, it wasn't like that. But just, I watched the love of God overtake that person. And the person gave their life to Christ, saved, and he just signed up, start serving in our filling holes talk. I'm telling you, there's power to that. And if that's a prayer need for you, God, bring my spouse with me. Let us pray with you in that. I'm telling you, God does great things to it. Micah, can we look at these 4 points together? Man, if you drink these into your marriage, let me ask you this question. Looking at those things on the screen, what if you were doing those things regularly, if you were ingesting those things on a regular, on a daily, what would your marriage look like? Come on, somebody. This fruit right here, the passion fruit keeps the passion in your marriage. Amen? So I want to close the service this way here today. And if your spouse is here, if your spouse is here, I want you to just grab their hand right now. And if your spouse isn't here and maybe you're just at that place of being spiritually single, maybe what I mean when I say that is you're the only one of faith here, or maybe you are single because of a divorce, because or maybe you just haven't had a marriage yet. If you're single and your spouse isn't here, I just want you to right now, in this moment, just hold on to the hand of the Holy Spirit of God that's in this place right now. Just hold on to the hand of Christ right now. Just grab onto His hand. I heard somebody say that one time when I was in church and I was sitting in the row and they said, grab the hand of God. And I'm like, how do you grab God's hand? And I saw this dear lady next to me, and I watched her hand go. It's like she squeezed her hand. I was like, wow, this is a neat moment. So I don't know if you just grab onto His hand right now, if you're here. And I just want you to start to pray. And typically in a marriage context, we're usually praying for them, praying for each other. But in this context, I want you to pray for yourself. Pray that God readies you to be the best you that He's called you to be. God, what can I do to be a blessing? What can I do to be a strength? Show me how I can bless others with my life, particularly my husband or my wife. God, bless me with that wisdom and that knowledge. Start casting down selfishness right now in your life. Just start to say, selfishness, you don't have a place in my marriage. Selflessness, you don't have a place in my life. You don't have a place. I will not be selfish. I will be selfless. Come on.
Start praying over your communication right now. God, I pray my communication is wholesome, that my tongue is guarded, that my mouth is guarded, that I speak blessing and not cursing, that I speak strength and not weakness. Guide my communication. When I'm spoken to, let me absorb with passion. Let me listen with intent. Lord, give me an allowance for their weaknesses, for the weaknesses of them. I don't want to be a person that lacks in grace. I want to be a person that abounds in grace for the weaknesses of my spouse. And Lord, let us begin to help me to schedule out our prayer. Help me to begin to schedule out our commitment to your word. And Lord, let my place in your church feed my marriage. Feed your kingdom. Lord, I pray this all. Lord, that I would grow after you've put me in the know here on what I'm supposed to do with my life, the part, the role I'm supposed to play here. Let that be my passion. And Lord, let our efforts echo the words that we have taken in here today in our homes, in Jesus' name. Above all, in our walks with you, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being the example of selflessness, of healthy communication, of allowance for weakness. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to pray, dig into your word, and be a part of your church. And we pray all this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.